Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast, brought to you today by the Bradley Foundation and by ExpressVPN. We're going to talk about both of those in a little bit, but first we want to get right into it. And I'm going to talk about two stories today. The first is the White House and COVID, and then the second is the aftermath of the January 6th riot at the Capitol, and they're both important stories in completely different ways. So let's start out with the White House and COVID. Now, this has to do with how frank the White House is with the American people about the various reasons it is making the decisions it makes on coronavirus policy. So let's go back to January 21st. It's the president's first full day in office. The White House press secretary is Jen Psaki, and she begins her briefing by saying, quote, "When the president asked me to serve in this role, we talked about the importance of bringing truth and transparency back to the briefing room." Okay, end quote. So now we're getting to see how that might actually work. So Psaki's problem started on Wednesday. The White House COVID response team held a teleconference for the press. Okay, so they're not in the White House briefing room, but it's a briefing for the press done by teleconference. Now, among this group is a member of the White House COVID response team, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who is the new head of the Centers for Disease Control. So she's the chief of the CDC. So the issue at that moment, as it is now, is reopening schools in the midst of the COVID situation. So a reporter asked Walensky about the CDC's priorities for vaccinations. And it asked in particular, quote, whether the federal government would be working more closely with states to get more vaccinations to teachers in particular so that schools can reopen in the fall. All right, so the question is kind of based on the premise that that teachers need to be vaccinated before schools can reopen. And that has been a position, of course, of teachers' unions, which have been just dead set against reopening the schools. Okay. So that's the premise of the question. So Walensky mentions a group called ACIP, which refers to the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. So it's a group inside the Centers for Disease Control. And the advisory committee had created a priority list for people to receive vaccinations, for Americans to receive vaccinations. Now, in December, not too long ago, the committee included teachers in what they called the 1B category, which meant that they would be among those who should be next in line to get vaccinations. Now, this was guidance. It was not the law. The CDC does not make law. It was the CDC's guidance for the states to follow, or maybe not to follow. Okay, so Walensky brings that up, and then she says, quote, "We've left that to the states to manage." Here again, we're talking about vaccinating teachers. "We've left that to the states to manage in terms of recognizing the prioritization of the advisory committee, but also to manage at their own local level." Okay, so Walensky is saying that states can manage this at the local level, because this is not a federal issue. I mean, the White House cannot issue an order for every school system in America to do this or to do that. Okay, so she says she's left it to the states. And then this is what she said, and I'm going to quote it here. This is all quote. "That said, I want to be very clear about schools, which is, yes, the advisory committee has put teachers in the 1B category." Remember, we talked about that was next in line to get the vaccination. "Remember, the committee has put teachers in the 1B category, the category of essential workers. But I also want to be clear that there is increasing data to suggest that schools can safely reopen, and that safe reopening does not suggest that teachers need to be vaccinated in order to reopen safely. So while we are implementing the criteria of the advisory committee and of the state and local guidances to get vaccinations across these eligible communities, I would also say that safe reopening of schools is not, that vaccination of teachers is not a prerequisite for safe reopening of schools. Okay. There you have it. I mean, this is the head of the CDC, right? So she's saying, one, increasing data suggest that schools can safely reopen. Okay. That's certainly against the teachers' unions right there. And then she said, vaccination of teachers is not a prerequisite for safe reopening of schools. Teachers need not be vaccinated in order for schools to reopen safely. So, I mean, that was big. That was big from Dr. Walensky, from the head of the CDC. So there it is. I mean, this is the head of the CDC frankly stating that the science shows, and remember, this is an administration that listens to the science, frankly stating that the science shows that schools can safely reopen and that the reopening of the schools does not depend on vaccinating teachers. Now, given the current debate in which the teachers' unions, which are the longtime allies and the benefactors of Democratic politicians from Joe Biden on down, are demanding that schools remain closed and that teachers be vaccinated before any reopening can occur. Given all that, Walensky's statement was big news. And the question was, would Democratic officeholders, officials, listen to the science and break with the teachers' unions? So we're going to talk about that and give you the answer to that question right after we hear a little bit about the Bradley Foundation. If there's anything the events of the past few weeks and even the past year have shown us, it's that the country is at an inflection point. Ronald Reagan had a saying, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. And that has never seemed so true as right now. Political divisiveness in our lives, riots and looting and the cancel culture are all antithetical to the values upon which America was founded. Americans must ask now how to restore, how to strengthen and protect the principles and the institutions that make us exceptional. Now, as we navigate through these unprecedented times, We the People, a Bradley speaker series, offers insights and ideas on the current challenges we face from some of the most remarkable organizations that the Bradley Foundation supports. Now visit bradleyfdn.org/liberty to watch the first episode of the 2021 season. It features Kay Coles James, who's president of the Heritage Foundation, and she shares her thoughts on the state of our republic, how to ensure the integrity of elections, what it means to be conservative, and how to advance freedom and free enterprise. So go to bradleyfdn.org/liberty. Now that is Bradley with an L-E-Y, fdn.org/liberty. So one more time, bradleyfdn.org/liberty, and you can watch the video. New episodes will debut every other week, so come back often and subscribe to their YouTube channel to be notified whenever a new one is posted. Okay, I was asking whether Democratic officials would listen to the science, would listen to the head of the CDC, and break with the teachers' unions over vaccinations. So, this was big news when Dr. Walensky said that. So, at the next day's briefing, a reporter asked the press secretary, Jen Psaki, remember we started by talking about her, the reporter said, quote, yesterday the head of the CDC said that it was safe to reopen schools without vaccinating teachers. You, Jen Psaki, said that the White House was still waiting for official guidance before making a final determination. Why isn't what the director of the CDC says, why isn't that enough? So that's a good and reasonable and clear question. And it did not get a good and reasonable and clear answer. So Jen Psaki said there was a CDC guidance process going on, and it had not been completed. And she says the president definitely, absolutely, totally wants the schools to reopen. And he wants to rely on medical experts in making that decision. He listens to the science. So, well, what about what Dr. Walensky said? And this is what she said about that. Quote, so we're not just, she, Dr. Walensky spoke in her personal capacity. Obviously, she's the head of the CDC, but we're going to wait for the final guidance to come out so we can use that as a guide for schools around the country. So there you have it. Dr. Walensky was just speaking in her personal capacity. Now, you got to remember, Dr. Walensky is the director of the CDC. She is part of the White House COVID response team. And she was speaking on a White House teleconference. But never mind, she was speaking in her personal capacity. Now, the White House can say to the teachers' unions, don't worry, Dr. Walensky didn't really mean it. She was just speaking for herself. We're not going to cross you. We're not going to announce that schools should reopen. You're still in charge. That's where things appear to stand right now, with the head of the CDC coming out saying the data shows that schools can reopen safely and that teachers need not be vaccinated for the schools to reopen. It is not a prerequisite for schools to reopen. And when the head of the CDC says that, the White House says she's simply speaking in her personal capacity. So obviously, this is a story that's going to continue for a while, and we'll see what happens. All right. That was the first thing I wanted to discuss. Now, the second thing I want to discuss is a very, very serious topic. And it's a topic of enormous emotional import, but it's also just important from a journalistic standpoint. And the topic is what we don't know right now about the Capitol riot. So the storming of the Capitol by pro-Trump rioters was 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago. And in that time, it has become perhaps the most important factor in our politics. It's something that both sides cite back and forth, throwing accusations at each other, citing the riot was this or the riot was that. Now, it's going to be particularly important in the upcoming impeachment trial of former President Trump. Starts next week. But there are a lot of basic facts that we don't know about the riot. It is not clear when we will learn them. Okay. One Capitol Police officer, Brian Sicknick, died in the course of trying to repel the rioters. One of the rioters, Ashley Babbitt, was shot to death by a Capitol Police officer. Now, there are reports of that the other three people who died, one was a rioter who died in the violence, crushed by the crowd. Another reportedly had a heart attack, and another reportedly had a stroke. So we're talking five people here. Now, information about the actions or the alleged actions of individual rioters is becoming public in bits and pieces as prosecutors file charges against them. We've learned a lot about some of their activities by looking at these charging documents. And some of the injuries some of the facts about the injuries sustained by Capitol Police, and there were many. They're also available in the filings of those cases and in statements from the Capitol Police Union, which has spoken more about what happened than the Capitol Police itself has. And so anybody can also get a partial picture of what happened through all of those videos online. You can look through them all, and some of them have been painstakingly analyzed. But that's just stitching information together from here and there. Capitol Police officials and their officers were the main force that tried to keep the rioters from breaching the Capitol. Those Capitol Police officials have not made any sort of comprehensive statement about what happened. That's an extraordinary fact. This is more than a month ago, and they have not made an official statement about some of the most basic facts of the event. And what I did here was I sent them a list of questions, and I'm going to talk about that list of questions just a second after we hear from ExpressVPN. Social media and big tech are infringing on freedom of expression in this country, and they're not going to stop. So the question is, what are you going to do in response? You could deactivate all of your social media accounts. That doesn't seem to be very productive, but here's an idea. Instead of letting big tech sites revoke your right to free speech, why not revoke their right to your data? That's why you should protect your online data by using ExpressVPN. Now, if you've ever wondered how free social media companies make all their money, well, they do it by tracking your searches, your video history, everything you click on, and then they sell that data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, and that makes your activity more difficult to trace and to sell to advertisers. Now, ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data, protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app could not be easier to set up. You just tap one button on your phone, on your computer, and you are protected. So go to expressvpn.com/Byron. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Byron. ExpressVPN.com/Byron to protect your data today. So I told you I had sent a list of questions to the Capitol Police. Now, it's not an exhaustive list, not at all. It just lists some of the basic, it just asks actually for some of the basic facts about the violence and its aftermath. So there were 9 questions. I'm just going to read them to you. 1. How many Capitol Police officers were injured in the riot? Now, we've heard from the union that there were a bunch of them. We've heard some of the specific injuries, but we've had nothing comprehensive, nothing detailed from the Capitol Police. So question 1, how many Capitol Police officers were injured in the riot? Question 2, what were their injuries and what is their condition now? That seems an obvious follow-up from that. So we can find out what the actual toll among the Capitol Police were. And by the way, I mean, the Capitol Police also were working with Metropolitan Police, the Washington, D.C. Police Force. So we need to know more about them, too. Okay, so that's question 1 and 2. Now, question number 3. Did Capitol Police confiscate any firearms from rioters? If so, how many and what types? And, you know, one of the first things I thought as I watched these shocking pictures of rioters breaching the Capitol was that I thought some of them must be armed. These are people who've come from all over the country. I'm sure many of them are firearm owners. And you had to wonder whether any of them were carrying firearms with them as they ransacked the Capitol. So the question is, you know, did Capitol Police get any of those firearms? We kind of believe that they did, but we don't know. I mean, here again, we don't know. And it would tell us something about the nature of this crowd if you knew that they were armed. But we don't know because we haven't been told by the investigators involved. So that's the third question. Now, the fourth question is, what is the status of the investigation into the killing of Officer Sicknick? And we just don't know anything from official sources about that. We have seen, as I mentioned before, these incredibly detailed analyses of videos of the riot. You see the rioters pounding police officers. You've seen all sorts of conflict. But we really haven't seen anything or heard anything about the circumstances of Officer Sicknick's death. And so that leads to the fifth question, which is there an autopsy report for Officer Sicknick? If so, will it be released to the public, or will its key findings be released to the public? And it just seems obvious. This is a matter of public interest. And you should know there has been some reporting, and it was on CNN. It didn't have a whole lot of sources, but it had anonymous sources who said that that officials did not believe that Officer Sicknick died as a result of a fire extinguisher being thrown at him. That is, by the way, precisely what House impeachment managers state in their trial memorandum for the former president's impeachment. But we don't know. The fact here is, you know, you've got CNN reporting something from sources. You've had other people talk about the fire extinguisher from sources. We don't know what happened. Others are pursuing other theories, and this is the worst possible scenario. You have kooks out there saying it's all false flag operation, and all this stuff that is just terribly destructive for public trust in our institutions. And what you need is the official agency involved, the Capitol Police, to say what happened. Okay. Sixth question. What is the status of the investigation into the shooting of Ashley Babbitt? Has it been ruled a justifiable shooting? So there was an anonymously sourced story in the Wall Street Journal suggesting that the investigators into that shooting had decided not to charge the officer who shot Ashley Babbitt. But it was another anonymous source story, very vague, said it wasn't really completely decided, and we just don't know. Number seven, who was the officer who shot Ms. Babbitt? Obviously, we don't know that. That hasn't been released along with any other information. Question eight, did any other officers discharge firearms during the rioting? If so, under what circumstances? We know that one officer fired one shot at Ashley Babbitt, and was that the entirety of Capitol Police officers discharging their firearms? I have to tell you, and I think I've tweeted this before, you know, I've seen some situations, seen videos and situations in which attackers were really brutally going after Capitol Police officers, and I was amazed, amazed at their forbearance in not pulling their weapons. But they apparently didn't, but I do want to know, did any other officers discharge firearms? And the last question, the ninth, did any rioters discharge any firearms during the rioting? And if so, under what circumstances? And so that gets me back to the earlier question about whether any firearms were confiscated. Were any discharged? We just don't know. Maybe we think there weren't, but we don't know from the Capitol Police. So the bottom line here is Capitol Police have not responded to the questions. They haven't responded to my original email, to a follow-up email, to phone calls, nothing. Now, I'm not alone in asking these questions. Chris Hayes, the MSNBC anchor, pointed out in a tweet on January 27th that many of these facts are the kind of thing that are quickly released in the routine course of investigations by police, and yet they have not been released by the Capitol Police. Now, the answers to these questions and many other questions, they are important. The Capitol riot will echo through our politics for a long time. It will be the foundation of the Democratic case in the impeachment trial of former President Trump starting next week. It will be the subject of multiple investigations, including some that will go on a long time. There's going to be a high-level commission, and there should be a high-level commission to investigate all the various angles of this. There's much we need to know, and there's much we could know right now if police would simply tell us. That's why it is so important, especially with this trial coming up, for the Capitol Police to release the basic facts of the investigation in the Capitol riot. All right, that's all I have to say about it. That's a lot to say, but that's all I have to say about it, and I just want to thank you for joining us and hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.